to the Gospel of John, chapter number 18, and we will stand in honor of God's Word as we read our text this morning. John chapter 18, we'll begin reading in verse number 28, John 18, 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. Sorry, that's page 797 if you're using the Pew Bible. And it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Verse 29. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor or an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your own law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. And Barabbas was a robber. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. Father, we realize that we have no power at all. Father, we confess that we have great need of your power in our lives. We have great need this morning, Father, of power to be able to hear, power to be able to preach, power, Father, to be a light and a testimony to those around us in this world, power to live a godly life, power to pray. We need grace, Father, as we've already stated this morning, earlier time. Father, we come unto you. We ask that you would bless this time, that you would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'd honor your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Every person must do what Pilate here is called to do. What's Pilate doing? He's a judge. He's called to judge what it is that the Lord has done, who it is that the Lord is. He's called to judge. We've all got to do that. We've all got to judge for ourselves who Jesus is. Who is Jesus Christ to you? We've got to judge. That's what Pilate is responsible for doing here. Judging. The interesting thing about it is that it is the judge who is before him. And Pilate himself, and judging who Jesus is, and making that determination, and answering that question, is being judged himself. You judge who Jesus is. You decide who Jesus is. You come to the conclusion of who Christ is. And in coming to that conclusion, you judge yourself. You judge yourself worthy of eternal life or of eternal damnation. Coming to that conclusion. So, he's either who he says he is. He is of the truth. He is the truth. He speaks the truth. What he says is true. What he says must be listened to, must be heard, must be heeded, must be obeyed. Or he's not true. He's a liar. He doesn't need to be heeded. He doesn't need to be listened to. He doesn't need to be obeyed. We've got to come to that conclusion. We've got to come to the conclusion that Pilate comes to. Either he is who he says he is, or he's just another religious fanatic. Pilate certainly did not hear our Lord without any effect. It affected his life. I mentioned that already this morning. You remember Herod before John the Baptist? Herod was plainly affected by John. It affected Herod to take John's life. Take John the Baptist's life. It affected him. Just as well as it did Festus before Paul. He told Paul, "You're mad." Came to a judgment. Came to a conclusion about the things that Paul was saying. Paul was reasoning with them concerning the faith. And Festus says, "Paul, you are mad. You're beside yourself. How could these things be? This is too fantastic. This can't be true. Surely these things aren't right. It's too incredible. Can't be correct. You're mad, Paul. You're beside yourself." And then there was Agrippa, whom Paul witnessed before. And Agrippa said, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." He came to that conclusion. "Almost, I'm convinced to become as you. These things are incredible. Almost, I'm convinced to be as you are." Paul said, "I wish you were almost and altogether as I am, except for these chains that I am in before you." And then there was Felix. Felix heard those things that Paul said. And the Bible says that Felix trembled before Paul. Felix trembled before a man in chains. Can you imagine that? Here's a judge sitting upon his bench, and this man's before him in chains, and he trembles before him because of the truth that he speaks. Not just that I'm innocent, not just some, you know, confession, but the confession of the truth as it is in Christ. The power of God was wrought upon these men. And surely, as we begin reading here of Pilate and we go further to the end of the trial, we'll not get through all that this morning, but as we go through looking at Pilate, Pilate himself was also affected. If you want a detailed discourse between what takes place with the Jews and our Lord and then Pilate and our Lord in the judgment hall, go and read all of the gospel accounts. Go read Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account, as well as what we read here in John, and you'll get a detailed discourse from each man's perspective and what they have to say. Here we just have John's account. And John here records for us the crux of the matter, as it were. It was the thing that the Jews brought as an accusation before Pilate. The only thing they could bring as an accusation before Pilate, that Pilate would hear them and that Pilate would take the Lord before him and judge him according to Roman law. And that was, "This man claims to be a king." You remember they tried to entrap him before. And they tried to say that he was setting himself up as a king and that he wouldn't follow the Roman law. You know, the Romans were in authority over the Jews. And they came to the Lord and said, "Should we obey Caesar?" And they sought to entrap him. And they sought to say, "Okay, well, if he answers and says no, that we shouldn't, then we can go to the Romans and say, this man is an insurrectionist. This man is seeking to raise up an army against Rome. He's saying that we shouldn't obey Rome." And if he comes back and he says that, yes, we should obey Rome, we can go to all the Jews and say, "Here, this man, you know, is for Rome and against, you know, the laws that we hold to and the traditions that we hold to." But the Lord wisely said, "Bring me a coin." They brought a coin to him. He said, "Whose image is this?" And they said, "Caesar's." And he said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what's God's." You know. So wisely he answered them and, you know, evaded the entrapment that they sought to bring against him. But here, the only thing that they could say that Pilate would hear was, "This man is setting himself up to be a king, and we have no other king but Caesar." So that was the chief charge that the elders and chief priests could bring against him. If they had approached Pilate with any kind of problem with religious matters, Pilate would have said, you know, and that's what he thought they were bringing before him, "Go and deal with this yourselves. This doesn't have anything to do with Roman law. This has to do with your religion. I'm not here to judge that. You know, I'm here to judge matters that regard the state and matters that regard order." You know. So this discourse, after the Jews had brought the Lord to Pilate, continues in verse number 33, when Pilate comes back into the judgment hall and he calls the Lord before him and he says unto him. So we know this is the chief of the matter, the biggest problem that there was with the whole proceedings. And the first thing that comes out of Pilate's mouth is, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And so the Lord says this, verse 34, "Are you saying this thing of yourself? Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" And Pilate says, "Am I a Jew? You know, I'm not a Jew. I'm not concerned with the things of the Jews. I'm concerned with the things that concern the Roman statehood. I'm not concerned with things of the Jews. Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What have you done? What is it that you've done?" And the Lord answers him, having ascertained and determined what it is that Pilate's asking, and establishing the thing that Pilate's asking, he's asking about matters of the state. And so the Lord answers him in that fashion. And he says unto him in verse number 36, "My kingdom isn't of this world." That's what you're asking. You're asking, you're saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And you're wanting to know if my kingdom's of this world. I'm going to answer you concerning the truth and regarding the truth. My kingdom isn't of this world. And matters regarding the state, you don't have to worry, because my kingdom's not of this world. And the Roman law and the Roman order and the Roman presence here is under no threat whatsoever from me, because my kingdom is not of this world. My servants are not going to rise up and seek to deliver me from the Romans and from captivity and overthrow the Roman government and establish our own nation. That's not what I'm here for. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence, or not from here. It's not according to this world. He asks our Lord if he's a king. The Lord presses Pilate regarding this question. You know, are you saying this of yourself, or have others told you it of me? In other words, are you concerned about any claim I might make upon an earthly kingdom, such as Rome's, or is your line of questioning in regards to a spiritual kingdom? That's why Pilate says, "Am I a Jew? I'm not concerned with spiritual matters. I'm not concerned with religious matters. I'm only concerned with things of the state." And the Lord says, therefore, "If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight as Rome fights. But my kingdom is not of this world. Therefore, my weapons," which we talked about last week, right? "My weapons are not of this world. Therefore, the weapons of this world's warfare are not my weapons. We're not going to take up shields and swords and spears and come against you. My kingdom's not of this world. It's not as Rome. Rome is not under any threat of siege by my army, even though one angel could wipe out the whole lot of them at once." In reality, the Lord's kingdom, that if we're in Christ, we're a part of, really is still obedient and subservient to, if we had been alive during this time, to Rome. That's what we're talking about Wednesday night. And you go and you read in Romans 13, in verses 1 and 2, where it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers," or the established authority, "for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." In other words, there's no power but of God. God allowed Rome to be in power. And he calls us to be subservient to and subjection to the powers that be. So here we are in this nation in this day, and we have the president that we have the Congress that we have the government that we have, and the Lord calls us to be subservient to that government. Obey the powers that be in matters of state. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but unto God the things that are God's. If it comes to, you know, some sort of a crossroads between matters of state and matters of God, matters of the government and matters of God, whereby the government would tell us not to obey God's law, then we must obey God rather than men. We understand that. But in regards to things of the state, you know, we're to be subservient to. So we know that all power is of God. The fact that Pilate was there and that Pilate was questioning the Lord and that Pilate was going to crucify the Lord, he would have no power at all. And the Lord says that to him later. He says, you would have no power. When Pilate says, don't you understand that I have the authority to condemn you, or I have the authority to release you? The Lord says, you would have no power at all, except it be given to you from above or from God. There is no power but of God, as we read there in Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 75, verse 7 says this, God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Daniel 2, 21 says this, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. He's of the truth. All powers of him. We have the power that is in power at this time because God granted that power the power that it has. And it can only go so far and it can go no further. And he'll remove it when his purpose is completed. And he'll set up another power until all rule and all power be removed when the Lord shall come again. So the question that Pilate asks and the answer that he receives are important. When Pilate says, are you a king? And the Lord says, I am a king. To this end I was born, for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. This is the cause that I've come for, to bear witness of the truth. I'm a king, as you rightly say, but my kingdom is of truth, and that's what I've come to bear witness of. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate didn't hear. Pilate couldn't hear. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And has not the world wrangled with? Has not the world wrestled with? Has not the world sought to understand and determine what is truth? For centuries upon centuries. Well, here it is. Here's the truth. They don't have to look any further than the Word of God. The truth is given unto them. It's just like we read there in Daniel chapter 2. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Those who know what the truth is, as it is in Christ Jesus, are those to whom God has given wisdom, given understanding. Just as it is that men have any kind of wisdom, to know how to do anything, God's given them that wisdom. God's given them that understanding. God's revealed that unto them. And everyone that is of the truth, he says, heareth my voice. But Pilate responds, what is truth? What is truth? This truth that our Lord speaks of here, we'll seek to briefly, in these few remaining minutes, to be able to describe. What is truth? This truth conveys those principles by which we live. I mean, that which we live according to, that which we live by, that which we abide by and abide in, we call truth. The principles by which we live in love towards one another, that we live in obedience unto Christ, to the saving of the soul. By the operation of the Spirit of God, this truth pervades the entire soul of a man. It affects everything that we do. This truth does. And like the intense heat of fire upon metal, I'm talking about intense heat upon metal, alters its form. And it's forged into something else, whether it be upon the anvil or it's poured into some mold or some press. The Spirit of God also, by this truth, alters our way of thinking, alters our way of living, conforms us into the image of Christ by this glorious truth. The truth is that if Pilate had sincerely, if he'd honestly sought to discover the true importance of this truth, he may have become a follower of Christ. A person truly wanted to know what this truth is, what truth is. Pilate sincerely didn't want to know. He says, what's true? This truth must be sought out with seriousness. Are you truly seeking to know what is truth? Are you truly seeking to know Christ? Are you truly seeking to know God? Are you truly drawing nigh unto Him that He would draw nigh unto you? Are you truly and honestly and sincerely desiring the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby? This is what the Lord says. Those that are of the truth, hear My Word. They do My Word. So this truth must be sought out with seriousness. Why? Your soul's at stake. Your very soul is at stake. This truth is not up for debate, though men have debated it. This truth is to speak unto us, and we are to hear it, and we are to obey it, and humbly bow ourselves before it. It's not up for debate. It's not to say, I can take this part, I'll leave off that part. I'll cut this part out, and I'll abide by it, but I'll cut this part out, and I'll throw it away. So this truth is to be humbly bowed before. This truth is to be sought. God is to be sought after, that these things be revealed unto us, because naturally we can't know them and understand them. It's just like we read there in Daniel 2. I've already said, wisdom comes from above. Just like earthly kings or presidents or governors all receive power from God. They could not be where they are apart from God. If you want wisdom, you've got to seek after it. Isn't that what James says? If any of you lack wisdom, it comes from above. Seek God. He'll give it unto you. That's where wisdom comes from. You want to know what the truth is? Seek Him. Seek Him. He will grant it. And He'll give it liberally. Liberally. He's not going to give it sparingly. He's going to give it abundantly, in other words. Abundantly. It's like that oil that was poured upon Aaron when he was anointed priest. And it went all down his beard and his garment, even to the bottom, the hem of his garment, Scripture says. It's given abundantly. We will not naturally know or understand these things except it's given to us from above. The Lord must be sought with diligence, and we must be determined to obey Him. That is truth. That is true. That's the way we need to think about truth. We need to seek after truth. We need to seek to know God. We need to seek after God. We need to follow Him. We need to pursue Him that we may know Him. That's true. And He has truth. And only He can give and grant us understanding of truth. We're not going to know it just because we have a higher IQ than someone else. There are bright people in our country, IQ-wise. There are incredibly intelligent people that can do mathematical equations that I can't even do on a calculator, because I don't understand all the little symbols that there are on there. You know, I don't have much trouble with subtraction and addition and multiplication and division. But when you start getting into some of those equations, I have to defer to my wife, because she understands those things more than I do. You know, I took the required amount of math, and that's as far as I went. I didn't take any more. I didn't like it. I didn't want to know it. But you know what? That's okay. I don't have to know that to know Him. I could be the most ignorant person upon the face of the earth, the most uneducated person upon the face of the earth, and I could humbly and honestly and sincerely desire to know Him, and would know Him. He would reveal Himself unto me. Things that the wisest men can't know by head knowledge and by book knowledge. It has to be revealed from above. That was the thing that incredibly marveled the men that listened to those fishermen. These are uneducated fishermen. How do they know these things? How do they understand these things? Because it was given to them from above. That's what caused the Pharisees and the chief priests to marvel when our Lord at 12 years old stood in the temple and spoke unto them. and spoke things to them that they surely must have said at the time, no 12-year-old should know these things. No 12-year-old should understand these things. No 12-year-old should be able to instruct us in the things of God who spent our entire lives seeking to understand and sat at the feet of great teachers to know. And yet here's a boy of 12 who's instructing us. Why? Because wisdom comes from above. It doesn't come from a book. I mean, it does come from this book, but it still must come from above. Anyone can possess this book and can read this book, but understanding of this book must come from above. That is true. That is true. And to this end, the Lord says, I was born that we may know the truth and that the truth may make us free. Free from sin. Free from self. Free from Satan. Free from death. Free from condemnation. That He would make us free. Because we, if you're in Christ this morning, you were in bondage. We were in bondage. And there's no way we ever would have come out from under that bondage. No way we would have ever broke those bonds, those chains that held us and caused us to be captive to our sin, except Christ had come and set us free. Just like Christ coming and giving us understanding, we would still be slaves of sin, except for Christ. Only He can free us. Pilate asked this question, what is truth? This is what the Lord's saying when He says, I am truth. This is truth. This is what I've come to make known is truth as it is in Christ. We must humbly bow before Him, bow before this truth. We will not know it, we will not understand it, except it be given from above. If you continue, John 8:31 says, if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Pilate therefore said unto Him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. I love this verse. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. I mean, the very place that our Lord has come to, the very moment that has arrived, this, He says, to this end I was born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth My voice. The truth is, He is the Christ, that which the Jews, they wanted to know that. Tell us truly, art thou the Christ? And He had told them that He was, but they would not receive Him. They said, we will not have this man to rule over us. He is the King of the Jews. That's the thing that Pilate asked. Art thou the King of the Jews? He is Savior. He is the Christ. He is Governor. He is the King of the Jews. He's not just a king. Scripture says He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He has a kingdom. It's not of this world. It is a kingdom that will end all authority, will end all rule and all power of this age. Bowing before Him and confessing, all power and all authority will bow before Him and confess He is King of kings and Lord of lords to the glory of God the Father. He is the only hope that any man has of heaven. The truth is, He was born to die. To this end, He says, I was born. He was born to die that those who have faith in Him and to whom He committed Himself might live. He is truth. All else is a lie. He's truth. Everything else is of this world and will perish. So the question is, do you hear His voice? Do you hear His voice? To this end He was born to be Savior of the world. To this end, we who are in Christ are born to be a light unto this world of the same thing that he came to know among men, which is true. This is the same thing that we are born who are in Christ to make men know that is true. That's what we're born to make men know, truth. We're called to be lights. We're called to be a city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hidden, if indeed the truth has made us free. Then we are of the truth. If we hear the truth, we're of the truth and warn men, be ye reconciled unto God. By Christ, by Jesus Christ, we know that ultimately there's only two masters. There's God, there's Satan. There's no other. A man can only serve one. He'll either serve Christ or he'll serve Satan. One or the other. Whose are you? Whom will you serve? We asked the question last week. What weapon will you choose? Choose your weapon. This morning we ask, whom will you serve? Whom do you serve? Whom do you hear? Whom do you listen unto? Can you gladly embrace Christ as your King? Can you gladly embrace one who is crucified upon a cross as your King? To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, the Bible says, foolishness. Who would have a King who was crucified upon a cross? I will. Will you? Everyone who is of the truth confesses Christ. Everyone who is of the truth heareth His voice and obeys His commands. Pilate came to a verdict. He came to a verdict regarding Christ. He goes out in verse 38 and he says, I find no basis for a charge against this man. You read it there. Verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? He says, and when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Pilate didn't find any fault in him, but he didn't desire him to be his King. He didn't desire him to be his Lord. He didn't desire him to know what truth was. He just says, what's truth? I don't have any use for the things that you have to say unto me. Those things I'm not concerned with. I'm concerned with matters of the state. I'm concerned with matters of the Roman government. I'm concerned with matters of my office. I'm concerned with matters of this life. I have no concern or regard for the matters that you speak of. So, all that are true or of the truth will have to judge, just as Pilate had to judge. Do these things have any weight for you? When the Lord says, I've come to make known the truth. Do we desire to know what that truth is? Do we hear His voice? Do we follow Him? Do we obey Him? Are we followers of Christ? Or no? Pilate found nothing wrong with him, nothing to judge him with. But he judged that he had no use of him and therefore was judged of him. Pilate was the one, in other words, that was guilty. Before him. He remained in his sins. He retained his sins. As far as we know, he went to the grave in his sins and will bear the condemnation for his sins and will spend an eternity in hell because of that condemnation. He will be rightly judged. So are you a subject of his kingdom? Are you a follower of the truth? We got to judge today whom we're going to serve. We're going to serve Christ or we're going to serve ourselves. And in serving ourselves, serve Satan. In judging who he is, we ourselves will be judged. And either we'll be condemned, as Pilate was, or we'll be freed, as Barabbas was. Even though we're guilty, even though we're sinful, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Remember there at the end, Pilate says, you have a custom that I should release one unto you at the Passover. Verse 39. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? They cried, all of them saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Isn't that interesting that Barabbas goes free? Barabbas, the Bible says, was a robber. Barabbas was one who was guilty. Barabbas was one who'd already gone through the Roman court system, had already been convicted, and was already imprisoned. And we were there. We were already judged. We were guilty before God. And Christ came and took our place, just as He took Barabbas' place, that Barabbas might go free. Those who are in Christ also go free. Whom will you serve? Choose you this day. Christ or self? Whom will you choose? Amen.